Welcome back. Joining us now is Mickey Folt. Mickey is the mercenary geologist. Mickey, good morning. Happy New Year. It's the first time we've spoken live since the New Year, so Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Here's to another good year in the markets.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your website first, and then we'll get on to this entertaining conversation we're going to have today. How do they get in touch with you?
Website is mercenarygeologist.com. If you follow Twitter, we're at mercenarygeo. And this interview will be posted on our 24/7 streaming audio radio internet station, mercenarygeologist.fm.
Well, I look forward to this one because this is going to be a lot of fun. What we're going to discuss now with Mickey, our geologist, our geology expert, 10 disasters that are going to happen. Now, they could happen in the morning. They could happen in a billion years from now. But nonetheless, it's not going to be a good day in the market when they do happen. Mickey, before we get started, I did read after you and I had discussed the Yellowstone caldera that a study was released showing that thing was, what, 4 or 5 times larger than previously thought?
Well, I hadn't seen that, but it doesn't surprise me. There are a dozen or so known supervolcanoes on the Earth, and certainly it looks like Yellowstone's the largest.
Largest one on the planet.
That's correct.
All right, well, let's take our disasters. Which way you want to go? The worst one or they're all bad, but you want to start with number one or number 10?
Well, I think we'll start with number 10 or number one. What we're going to try to do is work our way through time out to 1 billion years and say the ones that are most likely to happen within that time frame going forward. So we'll start within the next year. And that would, of course, be the chance of an 8.0 earthquake, and those things do happen about once in a year. If you look at the last decade, there's been about 11 of them, the last ones would be things like earthquakes in Haiti, etc. So they're more likely to happen along the Ring of Fire, perhaps Southwest Asia, parts of China. But we would be looking at widespread catastrophic structural damage, significant loss of life, and possibly tsunamis.
Okay, let's for those who are not familiar, didn't catch our last interview, the Ring of Fire specifically is?
That's the boundary between the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate that starts in Tierra del Fuego, essentially, and goes all the way up the coast of North America along the Aleutians and comes back down along the Asian plate through Japan and the Philippines, Indonesia, New Zealand, and that's where most of the world's volcanoes and large earthquakes occur.
You know, Mickey, and I know from talking to you and that we do have earthquake clusters, and an earthquake on one part of the Ring of Fire likely will create the conditions to cause an earthquake in another part of the Ring of Fire. That's correct, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't quite work that way. One earthquake does not necessarily generate another earthquake in another part of the world. Basically, the Pacific Plate is getting consumed through plate tectonics, and it's riding under the North American Plate, especially in South America, and even up into the Cascades and BC and the Aleutians. So what happens is, as that plate gets consumed, magmas rise up and earthquakes occur. So it's a relative movement of the plates. But one does not necessarily spawn another one someplace else.
Okay, so our number one likely to disaster is going to be an 8.0 earthquake somewhere along that Ring of Fire.
Yep, or possibly in Southwest Asia, specifically Iran, Afghanistan, and then there are parts of China along the Himalayas in India where the Indian plate is crashing into the Asian plate, and that's a continental collision, and that's what makes the Himalaya mountains.
Now, would this also include the possibility of the San Andreas fault?
Sure, that's transform fault, where you've transform is exactly what it sounds like, something that transforms one sort of movement into another. That is separates a spreading center, a divergent plate boundary in the East Pacific Rise. Then you have the mainly strike slip lateral motion fault that transforms that through California on into the subduction zone in the Cascades and Western BC.
Now, how bad is an 8.0?
Pretty bad. They can kill hundreds of thousands of people and have in the last decade. We've seen them in Haiti. We've seen them in Chile. We've seen the event that caused the tsunami in Japan. That was a 9.0. So we're talking anything greater than an 8.0. And these are giant earthquakes. The largest earthquake ever recorded is about a 9.4. So do the math on a scale, a logarithmic scale. 8.0 is a giant earthquake.
Okay, so number nine. Number 10 on our list is an 8.0 or greater earthquake somewhere along the Ring of Fire. What's number nine?
And that's going to occur within the next year, okay?
Okay.
And then the next geologic risk would be a major volcanic eruption, which is likely to occur sometime in the next decade to 100 years. So a 10 to the 1 power, if you understand a logarithmic scale, to a 10 to 2 power. 1,500 active volcanoes in the world, about 50 of them erupt every year. They can result in some really bad stuff, loss of life, human displacement, disruption of air travel. We saw that with the little volcano in Iceland about 3 years ago. Temporary climate change and famines. We've seen some major eruptions over the last, say, 250 years. Iceland, Vesuvius, is waiting to blow. The biggest one in recent history has been Tambora in Sumatra in 1815, caused the year without a summer in Europe and North America in 1816. Krakatoa, which I think most people know about, when it blew, changed the climate of the world for a couple of years in 1883. And then the most recent one of recent memory would be Pinatubo in the Philippines in 1991. Chances of this happening within the next 10 to 100 years, very good.
With this,
almost a no-brainer.
With this sort of volcano, though, they will have at least a few days' notice, right?
Well, yeah. Generally, we have enough seismic instrumentation and scientists monitoring the world's largest volcanoes that generally they can predict when, within a range of when a volcano will become especially active. The thing we will never be able to predict is the magnitude of the explosion, the eruption.
Okay, number eight on our list.
Well, that would likely be a great solar magnetic storm, and we would predict that that will occur within the next 100 years based on the fact that they have happened in the past. So sometime in the next 100 to 1,000 years, we will see a giant magnetic storm where we have radiation and high-energy particles expelled from the sun in a solar flare, essentially. It will cause massive power outages, disrupt or destroy worldwide communications, satellites, GPS, electric devices, radio, television, wireless, telephone. We wouldn't have this conversation. We had a big magnetic storm going on right now. The last one in 1859 caused telegraph communications to fail worldwide. The operators of telegraphs at the time got shocked while they were transmitting, and the resulting aurora, commonly called the aurora borealis in North America, was able to be seen as far south as Cuba and southern Mexico. So this is not so much concerned with the loss of life, but to think about all the how our entire world is dependent on communications. The estimate of if this happened today, it would be, cost the world's economy about $2.6 trillion. If you remember, a 1989 storm knocked out power throughout the province of Quebec for about a day.
Yeah, now how does this differ from a coronal mass ejection?
Well, I cannot answer that because I'm not an astrophysicist. I'm just a dumb field geologist, but I would presume it's a similar occurrence.
Okay.
It's generated by sunspots and what solar flares. Before I say any more, I probably ought to shut my trap because I don't know enough about this subject.
Okay, well, I'll have that guy on later in the week. Actually, on Friday, Astronomy Magazine, January 2014, will be on. All right, number 7 on our list.
I'm not sure. Let's see. Oh, yeah, we're working our way back. I see what we're doing. So within the next 1,000 to 10,000 years, the next hazard would be of concern would be a small meteorite impact. And these by small, we would mean a meteor that enters the Earth's atmosphere with a dimension of a diameter of about 50 meters. So that's not a particularly large body, but they hit the Earth on average once every 1,000 years. So certainly sometime in the next 1,000 to 10,000 years, we will have one of these events. They generally explode in the lower atmosphere when they're this size, and they can cause massive destruction and potential loss of life. If you remember, you have studied, know about the great explosion in Siberia in 1908. That is an example. So these things explode in the lower atmosphere and do major devastation as that shockwave hits the ground below.
Yeah, and the thing about one of these space rocks is sometimes these things can come out of nowhere.
Well, the meteorites, the small ones, absolutely come out of nowhere. There's no way to predict these. The larger ones, the asteroids and comets, we probably have a handle on those, and we'll know that they're coming. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, because we notice I said a small meteorite impact, okay? So we're working our way to some pretty giant stuff here, Alan.
Yeah, we are. Okay, number 6 on our list.
Well, that would be a... Hang on a minute. I'm looking for my notes here.
Yeah, well, Mickey's a scientist. Remember that, folks.
Yeah, I got to have my notes here. So from 10,000 to 100,000 years, we got two likely events. That would be an ice age. And as you're aware, we're probably just coming out of a quaternary ice age that ended about 10,000 years ago. The quaternary period of 2 million years, the latest geological division, is really characterized by multiple ice ages with a periodicity, meaning they happen every 40,000 to 160,000 years. The last ice age started to wane 10,000 years ago, and interestingly enough, this coincided with the emergence of modern man and the spreading of human civilizations. Scientists predict that the next one's going to commence in about 15,000 years. So people worry about global warming. Geologists worry about global cooling. The other thing that is likely to occur sometime within the next 10,000 to 100,000 years would be a supervolcano eruption, and this is where Yellowstone comes in. The last two super volcano eruptions we've had have been in one in New Zealand at 26,500 years ago, Mount Toba in Sumatra about 74,000 years ago. That 74,000 year event is what initiated the last ice age, because these things are of a somewhat apocalyptic magnitude, with catastrophic loss of life, extinctions, and basically due to the ash falls and ash lows, certainly change the climate with a period of volcanic winters and mass extinctions.
Okay, number four on the list?
Well, that would be a mega tsunami or a geomagnetic reversal, and I won't, we'll go through this, but there's one other biggie here. So that would occur somewhere certainly within the next 100,000 to a million years. Now, that's saying a mega tsunami can happen tomorrow, okay, but certainly it's definitely going to happen sometime in the next 100,000 to a million years. A mega tsunami is, those are generally called by massive landslides or a meteorite impact with waves 100 to 300 meters high. Well, that's 300 meters, 1,000 feet high. So these little tsunamis that regular volcanoes cause or earthquakes cause are tiny. This would inundate coastlines over all the world, immeasurable destruction of infrastructure, massive loss of life. The likely candidates are the Hawaiian Islands, because they have generated something on the order of 70 mega tsunamis over 20 million years, and this is basically when big parts of the volcanic islands slide into the sea. The other places this would occur would be some in the Canary Islands, also volcanic islands, Cape Verde Islands of the eastern Atlantic. Geomagnetic reversals happen periodically during the Earth's history. They are the switching of the positions of magnetic north and magnetic south. There is disagreement amongst scientists whether the destruction would be widespread, but certainly there would be wreak havoc on the navigation and communication devices. It could also result in mass extinctions, because as the poles switch, so basically the North Pole becomes the South Pole and vice versa, protection from cosmic rays will go away, because the magnetic field of Earth is weakened during this period of time. But the real biggie, Alan, in the next 200,000 to 250,000 years, and we've talked about this before, will be the continents will converge and collide, and we're going to form another supercontinent. Mediterranean Sea is going to disappear. The Atlantic Ocean is going to disappear, and this is going to be devastating, with wild fluctuations of atmospheric oxygen and temperatures, and certainly there will be mass extinctions. Geologists have already named this supercontinent. It's called Pangaea Ultima.
Now, my guess would be, since these continents are drifting back together at a rate of, what did you say the last time, about 2 or 3 inches a year?
That'd be the maximum rate. I would say more like an inch and an inch and a half, 2.5, 3.5 centimeters a year.
Well, I enjoyed particularly your description of the plates as almost being like on a conveyor belt. And I guess they drift for a while and then they drift back. I mean, do they come, for example, will Africa and the west coast, east coast of Africa come back with the east coast of South America, or does the west coast of Africa drift so much that it hits the west coast of east coast of South America?
Well, it's a relative motion, so it doesn't matter which one's going, as long as they're on a collision course. So I would prefer to look at, let's look at where it's really active right now, and that would be in the Pacific where plates are being consumed. So basically, you are consuming oceanic plate, and eventually you're going to have continental collisions. So it they continue to move in the same relative directions, but you're just consuming, and as you consume oceanic crust, then you're bringing the continents closer and closer together.
I remember a TV series where, or television show, where they were talking about that mega tsunami, and I want to say that might have been the Canary Islands you're talking about, but there's some volcano. Some volcano well east of us that, well, once it blows, it's going to drop a tremendous amount of rock into the Atlantic Ocean, and that would create a tsunami that would come so far inland as to even wash out an area like Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, that is specifically the Canary Islands. I saw that show too a few years ago, and there is a volcano there, and it's very unstable, and it slid before, and it's moving now. So it's pretty much a no-brainer that's going to happen at some point in time. But it could be, as we said, somewhere, could be this year, doubtful, but certainly within a period of 100,000 to a million years, that's going to happen. Probably the most dangerous one would be the Big Island of Hawaii. If you look at a map of the Hawaiian Islands, with the exception of the Big Island, they are, none of those look like a volcano. Those are ancient volcanoes, most extinct now as they move over that hot spot. But there's been set. You look at all those other islands, and they're all very misshapen. And the only one that still looks like a relatively intact circle is the Big Island of Hawaii, and it's going to slough off sometime. It's going to send a mega tsunami screaming into Los Angeles and all the way into the San Bernardino Valley, up into the mountains above Pasadena.
Mickey, what would cause a magnetic reversal? I mean, the Earth doesn't actually flip, does it?
Well, yeah, it flips its polarity. So the Earth's magnetic field is generated by the molten outer core and currents within that. So we don't really know why it happens. We just know that it happens. We have very good measurements based on the Mid-Atlantic spreading ridge that show reversals of magnetic polarity in stripes that go either side of that spreading ridge toward Europe and toward North America, and they line up perfectly. And the realization of this switching of polarity is, it was the final nail in the coffin for the guys that said we did not have continental drift and plate tectonics. So we don't really know why it does, but we just know it does.
I understand. Now, you don't, as a geologist, and you're keenly aware that this will happen, it's just a question of when, but you don't actually lose any sleep over this, do you?
No, I don't lose much sleep over anything. You know, I tell you the truth, I think sleep is kind of overrated. I don't sleep much, but when I do sleep, my 5 to 6 hours a night, I sleep very well, Alan.
Okay, well, so the most likely thing we're going to see then is a major 8.0 earthquake, and we're thinking we're going to see that sometime in the next 12 months.
That's true. We've got three or four more to go if we've got time.
Yeah, we'll make time. Keep going.
Okay. The next one would be in 100,000 to 10 million years, and that will be a major asteroid or comet impact. There are no 7,000 known, what they call, near-Earth asteroids, and 500 to 1,000 of those have diameters greater than a kilometer. We know about 85 near-Earth comets. We just found out about another one recently, so I guess we're up to 86 now. if an asteroid strikes the Earth and it's got a diameter of 1 kilometer, that happens on average every 500,000 years. 5 kilometer diameters occur about every 20 million years. The last known meteorite impact greater than of a body known to be larger than 10 kilometers was the one in the Yucatan off the Gulf of Mexico, and as you remember, that created the Cretaceous Paleogene mass extinction, essentially got rid of the age of the dinosaurs and lived and gave birth to the age of the mammals.
Yes, I think the comet you're talking about was the comet Ison,
the one that was a bit of a flop.
Well, yeah, I'm surprised. So geology are also into astronomy. Yeah, Ison broke up as it swung around the backside of the sun. They were really disappointed in that one. They had high hopes that it was going to be spectacular, and it was quite the fizzle.
Right. And going on then, our next one would be from 10 million to 100 million years. So we're getting way out here now. And that's the danger of massive flood basalt eruptions. And flood basalts are these igneous provinces that cover thousands of square kilometers of basalt flows. And the real danger here are the immense amounts of noxious gases that these lavas emit. And they cause extreme climate change and mass extinction. They occur a few places in the world. Siberian Traps of Russia, those cause the Permian Triassic mass extinction, in which 95% of the world's species went extinct. So of all the critters on Earth now and the plants and animals, 5% of those survived this, and that's what's got the evolution of those 5% is what gives life on the planet today. Interestingly enough, geologists have proposed that the Iceland volcanic field is an incipient flood basalt plateau. So Iceland's an interesting thing because it not only occurs on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, but it also overlies a mantle hotspot. So it's unique in the world. And the potential for major eruptions in Iceland is very high.
What is it about Iceland that makes it so active?
Well, just that, because it's on a mantle hotspot, much like Yellowstone or the Hawaiian Islands. The difference is, Alan, it is also on one of these these ocean spreading centers, the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. The Canary Islands are on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge. So look at a map of the topography of the ocean. You'll see all these mountains in the middle of the ocean basin. So those are giant cracks in the mantle. And not only is there a giant crack in the crust there with a spreading center, but you've got a mantle hotspot superimposed on that. So Iceland is a recipe for disaster for the Earth's environment and the plants and animals that inhabit it.
Is there any correlation between Iceland and the Yellowstone caldera in that? I mean, are they still kind of sitting on the same pool of magma?
No connection at all. There are several mantle hotspots spread throughout the world, and these are essentially giant cracks into the mantle existed probably since the planet was constructed by meteorite impact and welded together. And these hot spots remain stationary, and the plates move over them, the crustal plates. And these hot spots plumb the deep mantle, and that's where the biggest volcanoes in the world occur, over hot spots.
Mickey, have we gone through today's list?
Well, we got mass extinctions at 10 to 100 million years.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going. What have we got on that one?
Well, there's been 5 mass extinctions over the period of the last 500 million years, so certainly we're going to have a mass extinction event within 100 million years. They can be caused by impact flood basalt eruptions, abrupt climate changes. Finally, let's go. We'll be, try to be brief here. I know we're running out of time. The end of life on Earth will happen within the next 1 billion years when the sun will is getting hotter as it goes along. The mature sun will warm the Earth significant. All water vapor will water will evaporate and escape out of the upper atmospheres because it's unable to freeze, and we will be without surface life. Between 2 to 2.5 billion years, the radioactive fuel in the Earth's interior will run out, and it will essentially become a dead planet, much like Mars is now. And in 5.4 billion years, Alan, the sun will be 10 billion years old. It will fuse all its hydrogen and its core to helium, and it will morph into a red giant star, at which time it will expand its diameter enough to cannibalize the three inner planets, including the Earth, and that becomes the end of the world as we know it.
Mickey, this has been fun. You know, I got a subject we can discuss the next time we do this, is the creation of the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
All right, does that sound good?
That sounds good to me. I as you know, Alan, I am a geologist, a cornucopian, and an optimist. So I trust that long before the Earth becomes a dead planet, we will have migrated to another blue-green planet someplace else in the galaxy.
This, ladies and gentlemen, again, was Mickey Fulp. Mickey is the mercenary geologist. Mickey, I appreciate it, guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Alan. It's always my pleasure.
It's fun to do this, isn't it?
It certainly is for me.
All right. Well, until the next time. Yeah.